This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And if you're watching us on the webcam right now, 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube, you will see we have a special guest joining us here. Salute to you, Tim Cato of The Athletic, joining us now to talk Mavericks. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well. I feel like you tell all of your guests that they're special, though.
Well, most of them, but with you, I really mean it because I love your Mavs analysis.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
And your insight. And I feel like every time you join us, we talk about one way or another, what's their upside, you know, and what's their best case scenario. And all day long, since Wolchuk told me you were going to join us, I've been looking forward to your answer here because we're more bullish than ever on their chances to win the title. Timmy, what say you?
Yeah, I think the Dallas Mavericks have proven that they can beat any team. That doesn't mean that they're favorites. That doesn't mean that they're a top three team, but they're one of the very short list of teams that I could actually see beating the Denver Nuggets in a full series. And at that rate, and especially I'm so impressed with what Boston has done in the East, but they're also playing in the East. They're a fantastic team despite that, to be very clear. But I do think that this is a team that can beat anybody at its best, because in any given series, it can have two of the top three players. And we know historically throughout the course of the NBA that, you know, star talent, that highest echelon is what rises to the top. And, you know, this team over the past 2 months or so has really proven it to me that there's enough around these two ridiculous star talents in Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving that, yeah, I would not count them out. I would not rule them out against any team they face, even if, you know, they're not maybe a top three favorite by any means, title contenders going into the playoffs.
Team rankings wise, you have Boston up there, you have Denver up there. How many more teams is it? Is it two? Is it five? How many are you putting ahead of the Mavs right now?
That's the tier on top, and Oklahoma City probably comes the closest to that top tier, but. But yeah, it's Denver and Boston on top, and then I think there's a bit of a gap, and the next tier starts, and Dallas is somewhere in that next tier.
What is it? Is it size with defensive awareness and skill set that has sort of turned this thing over for us and got it going in the right direction?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, obviously we know that the trade deadline and the new additions and PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford that has been a huge addition. I think the team is playing better. I think that they're, you know, PJ Washington and has particularly enabled this defense to make a little bit more sense, replacing him with Grant Williams, just led into this team's defensive principles and the fundamentals that Jason Kidd wants them to play. But I also think the team overall as a whole is more bought in, more understanding, looks much better at executing what they want to do. And that includes players. You know, I think players like Derek Jones Jr., who has been great all year, you know, is only amplified by the way the team, you know, the players around us, his teammates around him are really executing and functioning as you know, within this system that they build. And Gafford, you know, being able to go Gafford Lively, obviously Lively has been injured for a little bit, but, you know, just being able to keep you know, at their peak rim presence and hopefully into the playoffs with Lively, hopefully returning, you know, that had been something that has improved. And then Luka, you know, Luka is better since probably the start of December than he was the first 2 months. And he was really good back then. But, you know, we are seeing, you know, a generational all-time player at the absolute peak of his powers so far. And who knows what's to come. As we all know, only 25, very possibly only going to get better from here. It's a hard thing to fathom, but he has been that good, and that's a huge part of this.
It's been such a joy to watch him and Kyrie, and Kyrie's certainly been sensational, especially in the fourth quarter, but now you're starting to see the Luka MVP momentum start to heat up a little bit. What are your thoughts on how likely and where his game's kind of evolved in the last 2 months?
I don't think he's going to win it from a... someone who's in the media and just has a sense of how these things go, I don't think this late push is going to be enough. I am a voter, and to me, it is very, very clearly between him and Jokic, and I don't have a decision, and thankfully don't have to make it for a few more days here. And I just want to emphasize, and I very well may end up voting Luka for all the obvious reasons, for everything that we've seen him do. He is absolutely fully deserving to win MVP this year. I just think Jokic is also fully deserving and able to win. And for Luka to ascend to top two player, no matter how this shakes out, and certainly officially it will almost certainly shake out with Jokic on top, that's okay. I think it's fantastic, all the MVP cases that fans are making for Luka, and they're right. He absolutely has an MVP case, and if he finishes second, that doesn't do anything to diminish what this team is, and what this player is, and what he means to this team. And he will, his moment is if it's not this year, it is coming very, very soon. I am certain of that.
Talking Mavs with The Athletic's Tim Cato here in the G-Bag Nation. Do you still, Tim, view the team's defense as a liability?
No. I think that looking, seeing how they look against the very best offenses in a postseason situation is yeah, we do need to see what they look like and how high they can reach. And in the sense of, maybe it's not quite going to be good enough to win a certain playoff series, and that's going to be the downfall. Yeah, that is a possibility. Obviously, the offense is still, more of this team's strength than the defense. But the defense has been really good for a long enough time that absolutely I buy into it. If it has shortcomings, it's less the defense itself and the way that it's come together, and it's more that, maybe they need a little bit more top-end talent. Maybe they need, a third-year Derek Lively. That would be the ideal fit, rather than, a rookie who still shows rookie moments and is still learning. Maybe they need, a defensive stopper that is just a little bit, level above what Derek Jones Jr. can do, or maybe, someone who can stay on the court a little bit more because he's a little bit more, has a little bit more offense to his game. But Derek Jones has also been so good. And, he blocked a Steph Curry three, at the release. That's something that I have hardly ever seen. And I've watched a lot of Steph Curry in NBA basketball over my time. This guy is super impressive. And then PJ Washington as the, kind of Swiss Army knife on the defensive end, being able to, guard up, and that's a really important skill for, your wings or your big wings, whatever you want to call PJ Washington. That's a necessary skill. You have to have a player that can, comfortably, spend a possession or two on a center and not completely break the defense that you're trying to play. And so absolutely, this is a very, the defense we've seen is very real. We just have to see exactly how it looks in the playoffs. It's still more of a weakness than the offense, but it's not a weakness. They have proven that it's not a weakness. It's a very serious defensive unit, and that's a testament to the trade deadline and the front office and the coaching staff.
Tim, is a playoff run basically in the hands of a rookie that's banged up right now, of a deep playoff run? I mean, is it that simple? Or are you looking at this like, without him, they're a different team? Without Lively, they're a different team. With him, they're a team that could beat anybody on any given night.
Let me put it this way. I think that's a little simple, and I think you also might be right. I think that this team is even since he's been out, they keep winning games.
They've won games.
We've seen that. Yeah. We've seen that the strengths of this team are not solely tied to that center position, but there's also a very real case to be made that the team could get into a postseason series. And, if Lively isn't available, if he misses, and right now it looks like the hope, the optimism is that at most he's going to miss a game or two into the first round, but you never know for sure. That could be something that it was like, wow, Lively's absence was really missed. This 48 minutes of rim running, physical, rim protecting center platoon was something that they really missed. Even with Maxey coming along, playing very well of late, you know, this is definitely a big part of the team's identity, is just having, you know, Lively or Gafford on the court at all times. And so, yes and no, but absolutely the team wants and needs him back.
Okay, it's Tim Cato here at The Athletic. How long does Kyrie Irving have at the absolute peak of his, you know, abilities here? And a stunning elite player approaching mid-30s here. How big is this window with both these guys in, like, top 10 form?
Well, I mean, remember what he said earlier this year. He's Benjamin Button team. You know, he's got the most dunks of his career. Nice. You know, he's actually getting more athletic as he ages. I think that Kyrie is... it's impossible to know these things. And he has a lot of injury history. I don't think that he's someone who's going to drop off, a cliff. It doesn't feel like, you know, he is one of the best shooters of his generation. And a lot of what he does, obviously, he is a super uber athlete, and that plays into it. And, you know, just because he doesn't dunk a lot, you know, this year notwithstanding, does not mean that, you know, his athleticism is a huge part of his game. But I think it's also something, you know, like his handles create so much space for him in addition to his athleticism. His, you know, his shooting and his ability to, you know, toggle between a primary option role, but also being the secondary scorer next to Luka. You know, I think that's something that is positive and beneficial for his longevity. And, you know, both role-wise, but possibly also minutes-wise, and just in terms of the, you know, the load he carries on a nightly basis. And, you know, he's played the most games consecutively in his career since 2016. And that stat might be outdated. A couple of weeks ago, that was true. Now he's played, you know, a couple of weeks more games. I need to check that, but, you know, I think that he's got some time left. It's not something I worry about through the duration of his contract, which runs two more seasons. Maybe we see a little slip here and there, but I still expect him to be a very, very good player, top 30, top 40-ish. And, you know, maybe the season of late, he's been even a little bit higher than top 30-ish.
What have you thought about the play of THJ here as of late? I mean, he's certainly a guy that generates a lot of criticism from fans, but it seems as though he's really starting to make the right basketball plays, and he's not trying to play some of that selfish ball we've seen previously.
Yeah, I think he deserves... Yeah, he gets a lot of vitriol from Mavs fans, and I understand why, you know, and you know, you can be upset at players without making it personal. I really think he deserves some plaudits for the way that he has adapted and exactly the ways you've said. I think his shot selection has improved, his willingness to pass. Which game was it? A few games, they're all blurring together, but you know, he made to PJ Washington, he made the, yes, you know, the game winning assist. And, you know, Golden that's State? Something that
I think it was Golden State.
Golden State.
Yeah. Against Golden State. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I knew it was the one
basketball expert
the
here,
games.
Tim. Basketball expert.
there's too many teams.
Yeah.
Too
know.
Many teams. Bring it back down to 18 and then I can remember them all. I'm kidding. Yeah, I think he deserves a lot of credit for adjusting his game. It's still very weird to me that he just seems to have lost some of his shooting ability out of nowhere. I kept thinking it was just a slump that would turn around, and obviously it still really hasn't. It's not that he doesn't make shots, but he does not make them. He has not been making them consistently at the rate that he almost always has during his Dallas tenure. But yeah, he's an expendable player. Dallas has tried trading him before. That's probably almost certainly something that they're going to look to do again. We'll see what his role is in the postseason. A lot of it will depend on how he plays when he's out there. But, you know, if this team's fully healthy, I expect them to go into game one of any postseason series with a 10-man rotation. But how it gets shortened from there, whether it's just a less minutes, like maybe severely less minutes, or, you know, completely falling out of the rotation, that remains to be seen, but I think it's something that we can expect to happen, that they aren't going deep into the postseason with a 10-man rotation. They're just going to start that way.
Hey, Tim, as a fan base, do we owe Jason Kidd an apology?
You feel like it. I think he's I don't know. It's a hard one to answer. What did you say about him, you know, a couple months ago?
Oh, you don't want to know.
You know, yeah, that plays
that's
into
that's
it
what
as
I'm
well.
Saying though. I mean, I you know, we do the radio every day and I think we've all been critical, I know on our end, and I think the fan base has been critical. He seems to stay the course no matter what. You know? And so yeah, and maybe you don't want an apology for how things are going for this basketball team right now.
I've come to, and it's not just, you know, the past month. I've come to over the past few years appreciate his mindset. And I think even some of the quotes that were most frustrating, especially last season for the fan base, some of them I felt like were explainable if you kind of understood his broader mindset. Some of them were just frustrating. You know, some of them even, you know, from my space as, you know, not a fan, but certainly observing this, I can't really defend, but some of them, you know, kind of came from this steadiness that he preaches, this kind of zenness. And I, obviously the players responded that, you know, everybody wanted to know last season about, you know, dysfunction that was happening behind the scenes, and there really never was. And there was frustration. Absolutely. There was certainly some hot, you know, emotions in the locker room, but the team did not turn on the coaching staff by any means, nothing close to that. And, you know, I think that has shown. And so I've been impressed of late. I think that he is doing a good job coaching this team. And I think generally the one thing that we can take away is that he does a pretty decent job coaching when everything comes together in the way that he wants it to. You know, his drawbacks as a head coach may be when things aren't going well. And we saw that last season where, you know, I do think he did a bad job. But now this season, especially post trade deadline, when he has the roster and the players that he wants to execute the ideas and vision that he has, we have seen it work very well. So I do think he's good at that. It just may be that he's not as adaptable or adjustable or able to, you know, fix something that isn't going in the exact ways that he wants it to, as some other coaches.
Terrific insights once again, Tim. Enjoy covering this team, man. I think it's a special time with what they're capable of doing.
Yeah, I might be working into to late May, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. Beyond. Nice. Yeah. We'll have to see, but I'm mentally prepping for it.
Let's
so.
Go. Thank you, Tim. Have a great time, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Tim, absolutely.
Tim, there he goes, Tim Cato of The Athletic here with you on 105.3 The Fan, one of our absolute favorites from the NBA insider community, and a guy who's just been dialed in on these Mavs the entire way. Okay, very special programming announcement coming up at 5 o'clock. You're going to want to stick around for that. Woolchuck's top 10 is coming up next, though, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Well, it's a very special day. Happy National Siblings Day. Love doing this list. Top 10 siblings in sports. What are some of your favorite siblings that you've gotten to watch over the years? That's next.
Hey, buddies. Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a good one. Time now for the top 10. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankler, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. And here he is, your Woolly Bully, Zach with an H.
Thank you very much. Top 10 siblings in sports history. Happy National Siblings Day. I know, I think all of us have siblings. We're all not only children here. So happy Siblings Day to my sister, Samantha. Now, Eric, you've got several brothers. Gavin, you've got a brother. Brian, you've got a brother. Who's just, I think, a brother and sister?
Yeah, we all related in God's way. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I got a whole lot of brothers and sisters out
happy
here.
Happy Siblings Day, brother.
Yeah, man.
Freaking love you, man. Who are some of your favorite sports siblings? Speaking of a pair that we'll get to, shout out to the Mannings, ESPN and Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions. They've just agreed to an extension through 2034 for Manning Cast to continue and for the two sides to continue expansion on other content. So excited to see how that ends up evolving over the next several years.
Yeah, I think they should get a TikTok, you know, take their best 30 or 45 seconds from each show and post that. That's how I'll be enjoying it.
It does seem like the way that a lot of people are consuming their entertainment now. Like a lot of these podcasts are blowing up because people are just taking little clips from TikTok, like Jinxie and Sketch, these two big streamers now. That's how they've become super, super popular. So
you got a pretty good podcast, but you get those shorts jumping and now you just blow up.
What's up, brother?
Yeah.
All right, here are some of the texts we've been getting in. Quinton and Quincy Williams from the 518. We got Jack and Jim Youngblood from the 815.
That's an old dude that texted that one in.
Hey, shout out to you. We appreciate that.
I didn't know there was a Jim.
I didn't either. I just knew Jack. I didn't know Jim.
Yeah, there were two of them, yeah.
The Watt brothers, got to be the most exciting siblings we ever watched from the 817. The Kelsey brothers, certainly, Jason and Travis. We've got Dak and Tad. Shout out to the 214.
Dynamic duo on social.
The Bryan brothers from the 469.
The tennis.
Yeah.
What about the greatest trio of siblings going in all of sport right now?
The Alouz.
The Ball brothers.
Rowdy, Rocky, and Reagan Beers.
The Beers, no question.
Dominating college athletics.
They are.
Reagan's
I don't know if the brothers are that great.
Don't they have a sister, too, that's a baller?
No, that's the Oregon State.
That's the main one.
That's Reagan.
Oh, that's Reagan.
Oh, yeah. Reagan? Okay.
Yeah. She's the best one, I think, out of all three.
She's the one that had
the mask
on, right?
I think she might be the biggest,
right?
Yeah. She's the big she's the big man for the Beavers.
Oh, the Gronkowski
brothers? She got a big back?
Brothers?
Oh, giant. Dude.
Giant.
Big back. Okay.
Broad shoulders.
I mean, she was wearing the mask during the NCAA women's tournament.
Okay. She actually did the interview at, like, halftime with the mask on still.
Yeah.
You don't want
to
get behind her.
About 3 feet, probably.
Yeah.
A couple axe handles, Lucius.
Give me a hug.
Don't want to get behind her in the post, I'll tell you that much.
No, she will eat you alive. The Diggs brothers, Trayvon and Stephon.
Go get them. Some love. Welcome to Texas.
The Lowe brothers, absolutely. Nasty Nate and his brother in Tampa Bay. The Cavender twins.
Lowe's, we got some good news on him.
We did get some good news on Lowe. He's running the bases.
Running the bases to live BP.
We'll talk with Jared about that.
Kenny Landry.
The Bushes in racing.
Yes.
Kyle and Kurt.
The Bushes.
Vegas.
Good drivers.
The Molinas being texted in.
Yadier, Benji.
Oh, man. Who
How
was
many
the
are
one?
There? Aren't there like four catcher dudes?
There's a lot. Yeah. Oh, they're all catchers.
Has there ever been a time throughout baseball history that there wasn't a Molina? Because I would argue there's not been.
There probably at some point was. Do we have
no?
Who's
I think
the
you're
Molina
wrong.
Right now. I don't think we have one.
There's Molina in there.
I don't think so.
Which
He's
is the one
somewhere?
One of them.
Yeah, maybe coaching.
One of them took a catcher's
yes
an off the ground fastball. To,
I think it was Yachty.
It was. It's one of and they slow motion that thing. Like sports science on that has to be the worst. It's one of the most egregious things I've ever seen happen to a player.
Gosh,
and the fact that he came back out there. For more. Like, that's a hang them up situation.
Yeah, that's an I'm okay now. I'm going to tap out. Reggie and Cheryl Miller.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Scratch that off my list.
What else you got, Lucius?
The Ball brothers. Never lost.
The Ball brothers are good. Yeah. What, they've kind of, I haven't heard much from the Ball brothers as of late.
Oh, you don't have my timeline.
Didn't LeVar just do something?
Did he? What's up with LeVar?
Somebody just
what's
bought a house for somebody, I think.
I seen LeVar showing off a house on Vlad TV. That's the last time I seen him.
Shout out to LeVar, man.
No. Deion Sanders' kids.
Yeah. Shiloh, Shador, and then Deion Jr.
Good luck. Okay, I was about to say good luck. And
well, there might be more than that, but those are the three I know of.
Yeah. The Wayans brothers?
Yeah, the Wayans brothers.
Talented group that is.
Yeah. It's like 12 of them.
Yeah.
And they all talented.
We got Cal and Billy Ripken. The Diaz brothers, absolutely. You don't want to mess with them. The Blades brothers. That's a Miami Hurricane institution right
there. Sedins.
Daywalkers.
The Hockeys.
Yeah. Josh and Jace Young, absolutely being texted in. We got the Alomars, certainly.
Mm. Oh, Robbie and Sandy.
Yeah. The Blues brothers.
Yeah.
The Boses.
Jake and Elwood.
Joey. The Antetokounmpos.
Oh, come on.
Giannis and Theonis.
One of those is doing all of the heavy lifting there.
Hey, but the other ones are,
Thanasis.
They're in there.
The older one that's not that tall was the Hooper. And, like, Giannis was struggling to get on the court when they were, like, 15, 16, just figuring out basketball.
Wow.
Older one took it, almost discouraged Giannis. Because he'd be, like, cleaning up in the corner while the varsity team was hooping. And he'd be like, man, I want to play.
Dang, that's crazy. That's a bummer when you're the big brother and then all of a sudden little brother becomes the Greek freak.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, at this point, I'm sure he thinks it's cool, but there must have been
there's a
transition period where
he wouldn't be him if it weren't for me.
Yeah, that's what Michael Jordan's brother says all the time. Yeah.
There you go.
I drove him to be great.
That's the play. Yeah. That's the move. Like, he's better than me, but it's because of me that he's good.
By the way, LeVar Ball did recently make an appearance here. This was last week. He blamed the NBA training staffs and Puma's raggedy shoes for his son LaMelo's injuries.
Yeah, raggedy shoes. Yeah. He does something about raggedy shoes.
Yes, he does, man. You got to take his word for it. He says the reason they're hurt is because they got away from me. My sons, they start doing these Rudy Toot workouts. You keep running them hills, you're going to keep that power and that strength. You start dealing with these rubber bands and doing this lightweight stuff, of course you're going to start breaking down. A lot of things have to do with them raggedy shoes that Melo be wearing. Them shoes are not made the right way for him. That's why he keeps tweaking his ankle every single time. He's got to get back in those big baller brand shoes,
Got to get
man.
Back in the big brawlers, absolutely. We've got Rondé and Tiki Barber being texted in.
Sneaky Tiki.
Sneaky Tiki. Jason and Jeremy Giambi. The Jones Brothers. Of course, John Jones in the UFC, and then Arthur and Chandler in the NFL.
Good plays.
Very good plays. The Seegers, absolutely. The Acuna brothers.
Matata.
Does Wemby have a brother?
Man, I don't know.
Jamie and Jordy Ben. The Bash brothers. Here's the top 10
Splash
for you.
Bros?
Splash Bros?
The Bang Bros?
The Bang Bros?
Yes.
Well, definitely Steph and Seth.
You got the Giambis as long as we're in Oakland.
Number 10 is the Suter brothers, Brian, Daryl, Dwayne, Brent, Ron, and Rich Suter, all NHL players. Collectively, they won 6 Stanley Cups. That is incredible.
Yeah, the ones that aren't in the playoffs have to go work on the farm.
Yeah,
that's what, seriously.
Oh, really?
That's what they do. That's if you, the season's over, like you got to go work on the family farm.
So we better make sure we stay in the
playoffs. You got to get in the playoffs,
Yeah. I know Lucius grew up with that kind of a situation where you could end up at a buddy's house or your house like doing yard work for 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah.
Is that a thing in the past? Does that still happen to kids?
I don't know.
That was my house. Was
good for you.
Yes. My friends would come over and then they'd be calling mom to come pick them up a little bit quicker than
I had friends anticipating.
There was a
buddy of mine.
Mom, I know I said I was going to be here all day on a Saturday. It's 10 a.m. and I got to go. I got a weed whacker in my hands.
Buddy
Mr. Chiafalo will not get off my hide.
Yeah. Hey, go pull the weeds, kids. My dad would love that.
No, we want lunch?
Who knows how to use a weed eater around here? Which one of you boys?
I had buddies that, like this buddy of mine, his mom, we crawled out of the window. So we would like to avoid her from not going through the front door.
Okay.
Like we were at the
house. Don't be seen.
We crawl out the window at the back window and then go through the back door or the garage area to get out of the house just to not to have to do chores.
Yeah.
Paint the house.
That's amazing.
Gutter cleaning.
Early in the morning, too.
Oh, God.
My pops used to trick you. He'll buy that pizza on Friday night. You guys want to go to Blockbuster? Get you some Blockbuster videos Friday night? Put a little $20 in your pocket if you want to go to Venice Beach or anything, you know? I'm talking about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know what, boys?
He's kicking
He coming in with just straight underwear on, too. Started signing people jobs.
This is what you're doing today?
Just draws, bro.
Kicking the roosters.
The whitey tidies, too, fam.
Oh,
embarrassing me. I got to go back to school.
Just handing your friend a shovel as he's getting out of bed.
That's the look. Definitely the Von Erichs, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
there you go. 100%.
So Wemby does have a brother. He's 17 years old, and apparently he's already causing a stir in the U.S. basketball media mock draft.
Is he a 6'5 guy, maybe?
I'll work on the size here.
Oh, yeah, thanks. The Joneses, Julius and Thomas Jones from the 469.
Hmm.
Jack and Bobby Charlton.
Soccer players.
Yes, English football legends.
Yeah, actually, when last time England won the cup, I think in 66.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
Look at you. Dang. Encyclopedia Brian.
You've been taking your ginkgo biloba, haven't you, Brian?
I'm getting better at this. If this damn geese would get out of my way, I'd be a lot healthier, I think.
That recall is really coming back, man.
Yeah.
Number 8, how about this, Kurt and Kyle Busch?
That's a guest said that earlier, yeah.
Yep.
7 is Henrik and Daniel Sedin.
Hockey guys.
They are Vancouver Canuck legends, man.
Yeah,
both
Canuckers.
Gold medalists.
Yeah.
I want a no hockey list. No disrespect to hockey. I love you, Stars fans.
Number 6, Vince, Joe, and Dom DiMaggio.
Baseballers.
I didn't know that there were that many DiMaggios.
Yep. Yep. I'll never forget what Pete Rose said about DiMaggio. My gosh. Showering in Vietnam.
Those were the days.
He painted quite the picture. 6'8 for Wembanyama's brother, by the way.
6'8?
6'8.
All right, here we go. Yeah.
Listed as a wing, small forward kind of dude, but 6'8". Then that's at 17 years old, so who knows what he will continue to sprout into.
Might be better.
5 is some more hockey players. Phil Antoni, Esposito.
Yeah.
Chicago Blackhawks
Stanley
Cup
Bruins.
Winners. Mac and Jack Robinson at number 4.
Oh, baseballers?
Yeah, Jackie Robinson, of course, and Mac. The Olympics.
I didn't know there was a Mac.
The Olympics.
I was about to say,
yeah, he was amazing in sports, too, as well.
Was he really?
Yes.
See, Jackie Robinson played football at UCLA, was a quarterback.
Yeah, Mac was.
Yeah. Yeah, Jackie Robinson was no joke.
Well, back in those days, you did all the sports.
He did. He showed up.
You did everything.
They like, hey, Jackie, we need you to like beat USC this week. Why don't you come play quarterback for us?
Mac won silver right behind Jesse Owens at that 1936 Berlin Olympics.
What?
Yeah. Yes, he did. Number three is Maurice and Henry Richard.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Canadians.
Number two, Peyton and Eli. Number one, though, best set of siblings on National Sibling Day in sports is indeed Venus and Serena Williams.
The Williams sisters there.
I mean, they're absolutely badass.
Thank you, Woolchuck.
My pleasure.
Top 10 every afternoon, 420 here in the GBAC Nation, set for Mondays when CY joins us. Then we run it at 440. Now, speaking of 440, what are we doing next, Chief?
What are we doing next? That's a fantastic question.
Oh, what are we doing next, Woolchuck?
Are we taking a trip around the, bases?
We got a mixed bag.
Oh, we're mixed bagging it? Wow. Yeah. Okay, you got to hear this little Dickie story next.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. Programming announcement coming up in 12 minutes. Mixed bag time. Here's Woolchuck.
All right, this just in. Tom Pelissero and NFL media announcing. The NFL informed clubs today it has revised the uniform policy to allow teams a third helmet design. This expansion was offered to the teams that were going through the redesign process for the 2024 season, and it's now open to all clubs for the 2025 season. So we know the Cowboys have their traditional helmet, and there's the white one that they were wearing for Thanksgiving and the alternate unis.
1960 helmet.
Now we've got a third option. Well, what are we doing here? Do we get the black Cowboys helmet?
You said 1960s Cowboys helmet brought us?
That a 1960 helmet, I believe they wore.
The throwback jerseys, yeah.
Yeah. White helmet with the blue star.
I think this could be fun. Now we can get some more creative third helmet ideas.
Wasn't that the Thanksgiving helmet they had for some years? Like, I feel like I've seen Romo wear this before.
Yeah,
this 1960s.
It is.
They wore it for years. Looks good. Yeah. It does. It's a clean look.
Are we doing this now? The policy used to be they didn't want to keep changing these helmets out.
For the concussion type of stuff.
For the concussion.
Now I think they're seeing positive results in their new the helmets and the models. So I think that they're more comfortable now where, okay, we can go ahead and let you be a little more creative with the uniform designs.
There you go.
So that's good news, especially for those that kind of like the alternate or the color rush type of helmets. We also have, shout out to track and field. They've become the first Olympic sport with prize money. Gold medalists now get $50,000.
That's nothing. You should get more.
I know. But can you believe that this is the first time that this has even been done? And yeah, 50K, I agree with you, is small and they should be getting more. But hopefully this opens the door now to where these Olympians are able to cash in on their sport, because that's pathetic.
Yeah. It's just weird that like billions and billions of TV dollars are going to be cycled through the economy. And these dudes are spending, or these ladies as well, neither one, they're spending 3 or 4 years. You know, this is not like 1 year, here's $50,000, which, by the way, after taxes, isn't going to get you much anywhere at all. I mean, you are sacrificing an entire half decade trying to represent your country at the highest level, and they're still benefiting from that myth of amateurism.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate to see people taken advantage of.
Will they be taxed on a France situation?
Maybe. I think they get
taxed. That stinks.
Don't they get taxed on the medals that they get issued out?
The value of the medal.
So ridiculous. Okay, so we do have some questions like, well, what about the Cowboys, the red, white, and the blue stripe? That's technically not a different helmet. It's just a stripe that they put on the helmet.
A different, they do that
so for it doesn't the, count the as, military, as one of the designs.
Yeah, it's for the Medal of Honor recipient.
Yeah, I think they only do it one game a year. They work for the Giants game this year maybe. That could have been 2 years ago. These years are starting to blend together for me.
But they did it the first time for the Bicentennial in 1976.
Yeah, and those are pretty cool too, but that wouldn't count against one of the Cowboys designs. Blue chrome, silver chrome, star from the 817. You can send in your ideas if you want, 877-881.
It's so weird how the NFL drew such a firm line on this for so long. Their paranoia about the concussion lawsuits has driven them to some extremes. And I think a lot of them were with actual player safety involved, and then there were just some bizarre ones that took away from what I think is one of the most fun things for fans. It's uniform color combination.
Yes. I mean, I know when you're playing Madden and you're creating your teams and all this stuff, like some of the designs, even in in the NBA, in 2K, that's some of the best stuff. Speaking of helmets, all right, we have on the New Heights podcast, a little Dickie.
Can I do something real quick?
Yeah, what do you got?
Just real quick, I looked up Michael Phelps because I was curious how much. Michael Phelps supposedly has a net worth of over $100 million.
Dude.
But only he would
greatest Olympian of all time.
But he would only But he would only had gotten $650,000 for all his medals.
That's unbelievable.
Think about Michael Phelps, but
the amount of medals he's got, what, 20 plus?
Gold medals, right? You said gold medals?
Yeah, he's got the most gold medals ever.
Yeah, gold medals. He'd only made $650,000 on his gold medals.
Oh, man.
But he's worth $100 million, and that's because
with endorsements.
It's endorsements and all partnerships that other stuff and all that. Like that.
I bet if he was like doing the auctioning off of his gold medals, they would wouldn't they just cash out in a huge way?
I just find it hard to believe that he's only making $650,000.
No, these Olympians don't get reimbursed.
Yeah.
At all. For
but yeah, you gotta have all the endorsements.
He's a Subway.
It's all about the endorsements. Yeah the Subway rolls around. That's where they're cashing in. Yeah. So Lil Dicky was telling Travis and Jason Kelce his Welcome to Hollywood story. And, well, what are some of the weirdest requests you've ever gotten? And here's Lil Dicky.
First question, our fans have asked us to sign actual babies. Travis actually signed his first one.
Chrome Parsons. Shout out to Chan P. Haley led me sign that chrome dome of his.
What's the weirdest thing someone has asked you to sign?
I mean, I signed a man's
Way.
I did. I signed a man's
when you said in the show, like, come
that,
by
that's
after
one of those
show.
Based on the truth. I was like, dude. I basically, I was like, back then, I was trying to sell the tickets. I was like, Sacramento, like, still a few tickets left, meet and greet, like, I might sign someone's tonight. Guy eventually comes to the front, and he goes, like, yo, LD, like, you for real about, like, signing? I just wanted to see if this was actually about to happen. I said, if you unravel your and stretch it and place it on the table,
come on,
I will sign that. I will sign it. And he, with no hesitation.
Zero hesitation.
He unraveled his is like medium size. I remember being very like, it wasn't that big, it wasn't that small, like, it was like very medium, it was normal, like I didn't feel annoyed by it or like it was easy to I could find the place to sign easily, like it was and I signed this man
medium.
Yeah,
can't call this bluff, baby.
Unbelievable. I cannot believe somebody actually requested that. Are you kidding?
No hesi on the stretch out. Yeah,
no hesitation. No, just, I guess, perfect size to be able to sign. But what the heck are we doing?
It wasn't annoying. I mean, I guess this is finally, you know, we're being progressive here. I mean, the ladies have always had their body parts signed.
Fair.
And now the dudes are like, you know what? We want some of this,
he's
too.
He's yelling this out to promote a concert and just be funny.
Equality.
As a joke. Some guy after the concert says, like, oh, dude, were you being serious? Because it's kind of been a dream of mine. Like, do you mind?
Yeah, there's some weirdos happening out there in L.A.
I'm never going to wash it again after this. Thank you, man. Yeah.
I'm going right to the tattoo parlor. Yeah. He's going to make it permanent.
Thank you, bro.
Gosh, that's unbelievable.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, you've heard about the piercings, right? Like the Prince Albert. And,
sure.
You know, some folks just want to do some strange stuff with
weird
that.
Weird stuff.
It's wild.
That's the best John Hancock story I've ever heard.
That's a great one.
It's a white guy thing.
Oh, 100%.
It's got to be a white guy thing.
Yeah, you're getting escorted out to place if you ask.
Definitely.
Come on, fam. What are we doing? You going to ask Drake? Hey, man, I really love your music.
Diddy might have been down.
Get a Scorpio right here. Can I get you to sign it first?
We got an hour and a half of the nation to go. Rangers pregame is coming up at 6 o'clock. Special programming announcement on the other side, and an edition of The Finest waits for you. Chief, where are we going?
Well, we have a Texas-sized grand opening and a little sprinkle-dinkle of Masters goodies next here in the nation.